Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he was 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite. And Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins that they committed, more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations that the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the shields of gold that Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard carried them and brought them back to the guard room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite, and Abijam his son reigned in his place. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins that his father did before him. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. The rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his place. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign over Judah. And he reigned for 41 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father had done. He put away the male cult prostitutes out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen mother because she had made an abominable image for Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days, and he brought into the house of the Lord the sacred gifts of his father and his own sacred gifts, silver and gold and vessels. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and gave them into the hands of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you a present of silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel and conquered Ejon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Maacah, and all Chinneroth, with all the land of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and he lived in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation to all Judah. None was exempt, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had been building. And with them King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Now the rest of the acts of Asa, all his might and all that he did, and the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in his old age he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us and for the children as they go to their group. And then George is going to come and speak to us. Lord Jesus, kings come and kings go, but you reign forever. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one to whom we can lift our eyes and the one to whom your word teaches us about. I pray, Lord, that you would be with George as he comes and reveals, Lord, what you have to say to us today. Lord, that you would speak through him in a way that isn't just information that goes in one ear and out the other, Lord, that you would help us to listen. And you would help us to be open to you, changing our hearts today. Pray the same for the children, Lord, as they go out with Tom, that they would have changed hearts when they come back. Lord, as they learn about you and your truths, things that they will remember for the rest of their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some of us were not here last Sunday or the Sunday before, so I'll give a bit of an overview. Okay. What you want to picture is the cameras coming, and you want to picture this massive land, a kingdom, and you want to picture a sort of like a paradise kingdom. There's peace, there's prosperity, there's a king, a wise king, a wealthy king. The place is flourishing. And then the king marries a wife from one of the nations that do not believe in God. They worship idols. And then things start going downhill from there. As the king gets older, his heart starts turning away from God. And then his son splits his kingdom. So now we've got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Like that. So the northern kingdom is called Israel. Southern kingdom is called Judah. Northern kingdom was taken over by Jeroboam, so he took 10 tribes. Southern kingdom remained with 2 tribes, and Rehoboam took those over. Now the trouble is, the camera keeps moving from north to south, from north to south, from north to south. And sometimes it can get quite confusing. Okay? But anytime it mentions Israel, it's on the north. Anytime it mentions Judah, it's in the south. Okay? And last week we looked at one of the kings from the north, Jeroboam. And today we look at 3 kings from the south. Now you might be forgiven if you thought that Jeroboam and Rehoboam are brothers. Yeah? Something like the Boam brothers. Okay? And that's Jerry and that's Ray. Okay? It couldn't be farther from the truth. Jeroboam is Solomon's servant. He was rebellious. He took away 10 tribes. He rebelled and just took off. He is no royalty. He is not in the tribe of Judah. He is none of that. Rehoboam, on the other hand, is royalty. Okay? He is royalty. Now, there is this king, the greatest king in Israel. David is his name. You know him? Now, that is Rehoboam's granddad. That's granddad. Solomon, you know him? Rich king, wise, wealthy. That's his dad. So you've got nothing on Rehoboam, you know? He is the deal, all right? And now he is now reigning over Jerusalem. So no pressure, Jeroboam, Rehoboam. We want to see better, okay? So let's have a look. Let's see what Rehoboam is up to. So the camera has now gone into Rehoboam. He's the one we're looking at today. And we are starting with him in verse 21 to 31. Now, all I need from you, this is going to be a bit interactive, if I say good king, bad king, you tell me what you think, whether he's a good king or a bad king. And you just do bad king or good king. Okay? Is that okay? I hope it's not too much interactive for you. Okay. All right, so Rehoboam, this is what it starts, verse 21. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, I told you already. He was 41 when he began to reign. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite. Now that is verse 21. His mother's name is Naamah the Ammonite. Hang on a minute. Ammonite? Aren't those the guys who worship a false god? Yeah? One of the gods is called Molech. And Molech, you know how they worship Molech? One of the rituals actually involves sacrificing children. Molech is a nasty, nasty god. And that is his mom. So, you're not surprised when you read verse 22. And Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked the Lord to jealousy with their sins that they had committed. You're not surprised, are you? If that's mom worships Molech and other gods, what do you expect from the son? Well, having said that, the son actually had a choice, didn't he? Because Solomon is his dad. And David is his granddad. He has a choice. But you can see he has chosen the mom's side. And now, even before we start comparing north and south, south is off to a run. Look at verse 22. It's saying there, and they committed more than all their fathers had done. They have committed more sins than what their fathers had done before. They are off to a great start in terms of sin. They are ahead. Okay? Now there's more. Look at 23. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and Asherah on every hill and every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations that the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel. Good king, bad king. Bad king. Bad king. If you look at these people, you cannot recognize them. This is Judah. This is the tribe of kings. What is going on? Are these God's people in God's place, under his rule, knowing his blessings? No. We can't recognize them. They are distorted. They actually look like the Canaanites who were chucked out of the land. The Canaanites were so evil that God said, enough! And he chucked them out and gave this land to his chosen people. And yet God's people have wandered off. Look at them. Look at what it says. Male prostitutes, shrines, high places, images, other gods. What is going on? Where are we? Are we in the promised land? We can't tell the difference between Judah and its neighbors. And sometimes we can ask ourselves, why is Judah even existing at this point? Why doesn't God just consume them? Just destroy them? Because this is beyond provoking God. But God's grace is upon his people. He's giving them time to repent, time to turn away from their gods and turn to him. Now, if I came to you and offered you Chemosh, you know, would you like to follow the god Ashoreth? Would you like to follow that god? You probably tell me, George, go home, you know. I think you've probably had something to drink or smoke. But if I told you, why don't you have that relationship with an unbeliever? Why don't you have that unhealthy relationship with the internet, with social media, with money, with sex, with pornography? You probably say yes. You probably say yes. So we don't start off with idols. We start off with compromise. Solomon compromised. God told him, listen, do not marry from these tribes. And he did. He thought, no, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Compromise. One compromise. It takes one domino to drop all the others. One. One is all it takes. And it's the same thing with our lives. It takes one compromise. And then another, and then another, and then another. And a few years down the line, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you can't recognize who is looking back at you. Who is this? Who is this? What have I done? And you are more shocked than anyone else. The God of grace is here today. He's giving us a chance to repent, to turn away from the idols in our lives and turn to him as the true King. Amen. Look at verse 25. In the 25th year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came against him. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king. He took away everything. He also took away all the shields of gold that Solomon had made. Now taking away from the temple, from the palace. That sounds like judgment. It sounds like judgment. And at this point, we would expect Jeroboam, or we would expect to read something in the lines of, and the king Rehoboam humbled himself before the Lord and repented. We expect to read something like that. Instead, pride kicks in, and we read in verse 27, and King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guards. You see what's going on? You see what's going on? God has sent judgments. And he has taken away the shields assigned to Rehoboam. I have taken away my protection. We would expect Rehoboam to go, I am sorry. Forgive me. Bring back your protection. What does he do? He goes and makes some dodgy shields, second grade shields, bronze shields. It's a DIY project, okay? It's almost like going around the corner and buying something from the 1 pound shop. And then he's going to use that in the temple. He's going to go, it's almost comical, you know? He's going with them to the temple. And the guards have to go in and go with him in the temple. And then after that, he gives it back to the guards and they go and lock it up. Yeah, because they're thieves around, isn't it? Yeah, so he locks it up. It's almost comical. But it's the same thing. It can be comical for us when we have strayed from God and we are going through the motions and we're coming to God's house in our own terms. We want God to do what we want him to do. We want God to save us the way we want him to save us. We want God to speak to us the way we want him to speak to us. We are approaching God in our terms, dodgy, fake, second class, absurd. We are going through the motions. The easiest thing to do would be to repent and say, Lord, I am sorry. Your God, I am not. Your king, I am not. You say, I follow. If you say I should repent, I'm going to bow the knee. If you say I should say sorry, I'm going to say sorry. If you say I should forgive, I'm going to forgive. Your king, I'm not. I'm sorry. Yet God showed him so much grace that even when his time came, God let him die in peace and he got a decent burial. And look at 28, he got a decent burial. He was buried in Jerusalem. You know, after all of that, the God of grace shows him grace. What about Abijah? Abijah, chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. Now, Abijam is Rehoboam's son, yes? He reigned in Jerusalem for 3 years, and his mother was Maaka, the daughter of Absalom. And he walked, look at verse 3, and he walked in all the sins of his father before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Good king, bad king. Bad king. He had a choice to live like Rehoboam, his dad, or to live like his great-granddad, David. And he chose dad. He chose dad. Again, look at God's grace in verse 4. Look at God's grace in verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamb in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Do you remember last week when Rob was telling us about Jeroboam? And he was saying that it was predicted that God brought a judgment upon him that his entire lineage is going to be destroyed. All of it. All of it. Okay? This is a perfect candidate here. Abijam is a perfect candidate. Same thing should happen to him. Same thing should happen to him. Okay? But what is God saying? God is saying, no, 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 no. I am a faithful God. I promised your great granddad that I will establish his lineage forever. He will always have a king on the throne. I promised him. Okay? And there's already, we're having a tension, isn't it? There's a tension. Okay? Promises of God or what we do. You know, is God going to judge us for what we do or is he going to keep on to his promises? And this tension is going to go through all of Kings. All of Kings. Faithful God. Faithful God. He keeps his promises. And that's what he's done. And because of that, look at verse 8. Abijam slept with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David. Look at that. He got a decent burial as well because of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Not Abijam's goodness or badness in that case. God's faithfulness. Let's look at this final king, Asa or Asha. And this one is a glimpse of a good king. It's giving us a glimpse of a good king. Look at verse 9, 10, and 11. in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Now, you're noticing they are, just to make it a bit more confusing for us, they are using a timeline of the king of the north. Yeah, his timeline. On this year, yeah. On this year, yeah, this happened. On this year, yeah, this happened here. On this year, yeah, this happened here, okay? But because you've seen the background, now you know what's going on, yes? Now you know what's going on. Yeah? Makes a lot of sense, yes? Fantastic, okay? So, Asa began to reign in Judah. And he reigned for 41 years. Every time you see any of these kings reigning 40 years, you know that's a good sign. Okay? You know that's a good sign. Okay, and Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father had done. Look at 12. He put away the male cult prostitutes out of the land and removed all idols that his fathers had made. Bad king, good king. Good king. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen mother, because she had made an abominable image of Asherah, and also cut down her image and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Bad king, good king. Good king. Ah, it's only three. Bad king, good king. Good king, okay, fantastic. Nevertheless, but the high places were not taken away. Bad king, good king. Oh, we're not sure. Some of us here, we're not sure. Oh, good king, bad king, we're not sure. He should have taken away all the high places. We're not sure, okay? We're not sure. We're thinking bad king. Yeah, it was a bad thing. Yeah? Nevertheless, look at the Bible. Nevertheless, verse 14, the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all his days. Bad king, good king. Good king. And he brought into the house of the Lord sacred gifts and of his father and his son, sacred gifts of his own, silver, gold, vessels. Look at that. Okay? Immediately Asa comes on the scene. What is he doing? What is he doing? He is removing all foreign altars. He is removing all pagan gods. He is removing all idolatrous practices. He is literally transforming the kingdom. He is even chucking out Nani. Okay? You know, Nan set up some goddesses and idols. Okay? And Asa is saying, listen, Nan, we can't do this. Okay? That's enough. Okay? God is greater. Okay? You're not. Okay? This idol thing, I don't want it. Out. Okay? Out with Nan. Okay? He's bold enough to do that. Now, if you look at Chronicles, they keep telling us, and some of their histories are written in the books of Chronicles. Yes, yes. If you look at Chronicles, you will see more of what Asa did. And you can read it, okay? You can read it. I'll give you the reference over here. You can read it in 2 Chronicles. You'll find quite a lot of things about King Asa. But one thing you'll find in verse 4, he says, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandments. He literally went around, destroyed all of this other idol stuff, and then said, listen, guys, now follow the Lord. Bad king, good king. Good king. Good king. According to the Bible, the good king is the one who is pointing people to the king. The good king is the one who has the King of Kings as his king. And then he's pointing the people to that king. That's a good king. A bad king does his own thing. Okay, he's doing his DIY stuff. Okay, he's trying to find his own way, trying to manipulate stuff. That's a bad king. Okay? And we can see that Asa, on the whole, is a good king. And we might be thinking to ourselves, now we've got a perfect king, isn't it? Okay? He's perfect, perfect king. This is the one we want to follow. Okay? Asa, forever. unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. So later on in his life, what happened in verse 17? What happened there? What happened in verse 17? There was war, and then what did he do? He went into the coffers of the temple, took money, okay, went and bribed one of the kings, and said to them, why don't you go and attack that guy in the north, like a Bashan guy, you know, he's giving me sleepless nights, okay? He's come, he's built stuff here, he stopped trade from coming up and down, okay? You attack him from that side, okay? Brilliant, okay? It's a brilliant idea. I mean, politically, it's a brilliant idea, but in the eyes of God, what is he saying? He is saying, I can devise a plot to protect myself. That's what he's saying. Bad king, good king. Bad king. So even the good king has a blemish. Even the good king has a blemish. Now at this point, immediately we are beginning to yearn for a perfect king. We want a perfect king. We don't want a good king with a blemish. Okay? We want a perfect king. And Judah is already crying out for a perfect king. King forever. Perfect king. What are we learning by looking at these three kings? You got lots of bad kings, a few good kings, up and down. Next week we'll go to the other side, see some bad kings, come back this side. Okay, bad kings, good kings. Never a perfect king. Never a perfect king. So they're yearning for a perfect king. We are yearning for a perfect king. Have you heard of this lady called Dame Sarah Mullally? Yeah? Some of us have not. That's it. Okay? She's the new Archbishop of the Church of England. Okay? The first female Archbishop. Okay? For 500 years, they say. She's made history. And they're saying she is best suited to sort out the mess in Church of England. That's what they're saying. Best suited. Okay? Now, I don't know her as a leader. I don't know her as a leader. I don't know what she's good at, whether she's good or bad. I have no idea. All I know is, doesn't matter how good the leader is, they have blemish. They have blemish. Will she lead Church of England to God, or will she be at the forefront of breaking God's command? That's the question. Friends, our hearts easily wander away from God. It doesn't take much. We wander away from God. We chase after pleasure, chase after comfort, chase after image, chase after things. Our hearts easily run away from God. We need this perfect king to hold our hands. Hold my hand, so I don't run off to danger. It's almost like if Sam wants to hold Toby's hand, and Toby's like, no, I got this, dad. You're going to run off to the road, isn't it? You're going to run off the road, okay? Because you think you got it, but you can only see this much. Sam can see that much. He's been around. He knows where all the danger is, okay? So imagine if Toby was to be proud and say, "I, you're not going to hold my hand, I got this." It's the same with us. We can think we got this. We got life. We got the answers. We can sort this out. I can live my life and I'll be fine. And God is saying, no, you will not be fine. The idols will overtake you. Your heart will lie to you. Your body will sweep you off your feet. You will follow other things, other idols. And you will be under my judgment. I have sent a savior for you. Hold his hand. cry to him. Humble your heart. Receive him. He is the king you need. And he will lead you to me. Amen? By now we are looking at Great Britain and we are thinking to ourselves, okay, this is the United Kingdom, Great Britain, with these bumbling leaders. Why has it not been destroyed? And we are looking at the Church of England with its compromises, and we are asking, why has it not been destroyed? And we are looking at other religions with their cults and idols, and we are asking, why have they not been destroyed? And we're looking at our neighbors and our friends who have hardened their hearts against this Savior. And we're asking, why have they not been destroyed? Well, we're looking at our hearts and thinking to ourselves, oh, we have entertained idols. Why are we not destroyed? And the answer is the God of grace. His grace is greater than the sin of man. His grace is greater than the sin of man. Amen? Amen? We praise God for his grace. Praise be to God. And he has fulfilled his promises through the perfect King Jesus. So let us bow down to him. Let us humbly turn to him. Let us confess and admit that we have done wrong. Let us admit that we have not done right. We have neglected to do right. And let us trust his promises that he will save us and that he will lead us to this God who is the eternal God, who is King forever. Save us, your majesty, King Jesus. Save us.